48 minutes past 8 o'clock on a Thursday morning. Good morning to you. You've just joined us. You're on 88FM Radio Life and Style. Coming to you live from the center of Ballito, and I'm joined at this juncture by two very special guests, Yael Geffen from Sotheby's and Glenda Thompson, who is, she's the PR to the stars in this part of the world, and I guess you noticed, so well done for getting Yael noticed, and well done for being on the morning show. On a day after the budget was and we've had such drama in the streets, and it's actually all good, really, because we're going to be talking initially property and a little bit of mental health as well.
I love how you asked if both of them are inextricably linked.
Well, because the evidence is irrefutable, is it not the case?
But, when I heard you mentioning your word of the day, obtuse, all I remembered was when I was little and I knew it was an angle bigger than 90 degrees and less than 180 degrees. I didn't actually know that there was another meaning for the word. So thank you.
The English language is curious
thank
in
you.
Many
I
ways.
I just remembered an angle. An angle on my, what was it? A protractor? What were those things that we used to have in school?
Little. A protractor is a good word.
Yeah.
And you had acute and obtuse angles.
Yes, acute, obtuse, exactly.
Let's get into the subject of the day. Let's kick off with property. What are the trends for this year? Bearing in mind that we've had a few shakes and bumps starting the year.
Yeah, especially at Ballito with all the, the rain and with
power cuts.
The power cuts have been shame. I've heard it from all my friends in Ballito and, my Ballito franchisee. Things are pumping here, which is great in Ballito. Absolutely great. There's so many buyers, so many foreigners, the limited stock. So the prices will stay high until that demand and supply kind of equate. But in terms of general trends, there's a lot of multi-generational living happening at the same time. So what we're seeing around the country is families buying bigger properties, and then there's something for the grandparents, and then something for the parents, and then like a little cottage for the teenagers, and definitely the rise of co-living spaces.
What is driving that?
I think the cost of owning property could be a reason. And also, partly maybe, which goes into my discussion later, is the kind of loneliness epidemic and how people are wanting to stay together for longer.
I was thinking that when you mentioned it, because it does make sense. Yeah, especially if you're fortunate enough to still have a bit of a nuclear family in one place, because it's unusual these days. Many families are... There's been the diaspora all over the world, and kids are here and there, and parents are there and here. And it's quite, it leads, I think, even more to that loneliness epidemic that we're talking about. So
definitely.
Well, that's good to know. I presume the interest rate has had an effect, the drop
of
25 basis points. Not a huge drop. And, there have been two of them, so collectively that's 50 basis points.
And,
How is that significant?
It's still not where it bottomed out to during, that 80-year low. But it does have an impact. People then are more hungry to purchase property. It makes more sense to actually own rather than rent. And then the banks are being very aggressive with their lending, which always helps. So, yes, it does stimulate the market.
See, someone was telling me that, if you bought a couple of months ago when the interest rates were at a pretty much an all-time high and you were able to hang on to your assets, you're in a very good position going forward, because projections are, despite rumors to the contrary and the budget speech being curtailed for a short while, that the interest rate is going to continue to drop, which I presume is going to add stimulus to buyers and maybe sellers as well. What is your view?
I think it might drop again this year, but it's not going to get to that all-time low that we experienced a few years ago where everything was booming.
But maybe there was an artificial opportunity that people got into trouble buying when it was all-time low, and then suddenly the interest rates did what it does so nicely, crept up beyond their capacity to support it or to sustain.
The whole purpose, though, Dave, that you're speaking about is completely correct. That having property as an asset and holding on. Why can't I speak today?
You can.
What is going on?
Because you're being obtuse.
I never normally stutter and stumble. I'm like, that. No, because it's an unbelievably high returning asset.
I've always thought property is a good one. A lot of folks, you know, argue the point, and I suppose it depends on your position.
You just have to wait it out.
Well, yeah, I don't think that it's ever been the case where people have, over the long term, lost money in property. Mm. And I suppose this latest act that the government has passed has added a little bit of a question mark to it. Are they going to be able to take your property without compensation under the certain circumstances? Well, of course, that doesn't help in the discussion at all at any stage in the game, certainly not as far as the economy goes. And I would imagine home ownership is equally under the pressure of the possibility, although it's a very long shot, I would imagine.
South Africa's property market is extremely resilient. If you think about what we've had to face in South Africa from an economic point of view, political uncertainty, this market sentiment, and we're still resilient, and there's always cycles, turns and roundabouts, and we're just in another one right now.
You hit on a very interesting subject, and before we get into the mental health thing, if you look at our history collectively over the past 300 years, there has never, ever been a protracted period in our collective history where we haven't had some drama.
Exactly.
I'm serious. And some of them have been so serious that they have threatened to literally collapse everything. And yet this wonderful nation of ours manages, if someone once alluded to a loosely tied raft going over a set of rapids, we seem to be falling apart at the seams, but we get through these rapids every single time. And who was the man that said South Africa is that country where the best usually doesn't happen, but then neither does the worst?
So, you know, we're not victims here.
Yeah,
we pick ourselves up and we carry on, and it's the most unbelievable trait.
I love that. But now let's get into the darker area that we were looking at. And that is, you have an interest in mental health.
Mm.
And I'd like to ask you why. Or maybe that's not the best question to ask.
No, absolutely.
What is your interest in mental health and in talking about it, advocating for it?
So I think each of us are touched by mental health in some way or another, in every family, in every community. And I lost my brother to suicide in 2009. And I've also had my own mental health journey. I've was diagnosed in my 20s as having bipolar 2, which is the less severe. So it's manic depression, but the less severe one. I didn't necessarily think I was God or start gambling or, you know, but you get your highs and lows, and I'm on medication. And I talk about it because it's still stigmatized. And as a leader, I think we can all step up and talk about our journeys so that we can help everyone, because right now it's a lonely place to be.
I think more so possibly than ever before. I believe it's safe to say that most people don't even know much about their neighbors, and that's quite something. I'm talking about in the modern South African society, not necessarily in black society, because that's a different approach to communal living or collective living, and I envy often.
No, they're doing it right.
Yeah.
That's how we should be living.
Yeah, but I'm looking at Bolito particularly because that's where I live. And I honestly, I know who my neighbors are. I think I do. I might recognize them in the shopping center, but I'm not sure.
Maybe they think you're obtuse.
I definitely. Definitely. And you know how many folk choose not to go out these days because, well, you know that. Why? Why is it becoming more and more difficult to socialize? I see statistics that indicate that loneliness is an epidemic now.
Yeah. There's a loneliness
globally.
Epidemic. There is. And what's paralyzed us is social media.
Oh.
It's paralyzed us because people don't feel a need to go out and connect in the usual way that they used to, with communities, with meeting friends. You feel connected to somehow a community online, but it's all fake. It's not your friends, it's people you follow, it's this. And then you're comparing, and there's the analysis paralysis, and it leads to such depression. And if you look at kids, the way we're raising kids right now is terribly, terribly troubling, because they are spending so much time on their devices and gaming, and they're not getting out. And the parents aren't setting the examples of, get off your devices. Come, we're going for a picnic. We're going to play cricket outside. We don't, because parents themselves are hooked into this culture. I mean, I made a joke, you know, I was with my family. I can't remember, at some kind of a function, and we all had our phones out. And I was like, this is real quality time, you know.
But it's so true. It's so true. You just look around, go to a restaurant, and you look at people sitting at the table, and they're on their phones.
Yeah,
they're not even talking to each other.
No one's talking to each other. Yeah. Even if they're at the table, they're not talking to each other.
So what is the solution? Is there a solution?
I think it has to start from the parents role modeling, and it's also got to start from schools getting involved, because we're raising children on digital media.
But you know, there's an interesting trend among the Gen Z, or what comes next. They're actually disconnecting from social media. There's a big trend going back towards phones that don't have connectivity. I'm talking about smartphones.
Yes.
They're being abandoned.
I yearn for a Nokia.
Well, apparently it's a big thing. It's coming back largely because there is this acknowledgement that social media is just not going to help you. It's not good for you.
Well, countries like Australia have done remarkably well. They passed a law, and now it's in its final stages, that social media is going to be banned for children younger than 16.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's already in place, actually, guys. Yeah,
in Australia.
Yeah. But I thought it's going to take a year.
Can you imagine them trying to implement it?
No, there's schools that have really put their foot down on this. So yeah, it's there.
I mean, and that really is leading the way, because that's what we should all be doing. And I like what you're saying, because I feel that there's going to be almost like a Tolstoy community created, where people are just going to abandon social media, abandon their phones, and go back to basics.
Well, if you think about it, have you benefited lately from anything else? I'm talking about really benefited, mental health-wise or any other way. And I don't think... one might hear a funny story and maybe laugh a little bit at someone falling on a banana skin or something ridiculous like that. But real benefits, deep benefits, lasting, are there any? I don't think so.
It depends what you watch. And that's the other thing, to like do a digital detox and see what you're watching. Because I like to watch a lot of podcasts. I like that Lewis Howes School for Life. And I
That's not a sort of social media that comes to
exactly.
you. You've gone out and looked
I'm
for something.
I'm talking about the Instagram trawling. Where it's pure escapism and it's just mindless thumb scrolling.
And stealing your time.
Stealing your time, your energy, and your mental health. Yeah. And then we all feel we're not doing as well as each other, because you're seeing the highlight reel.
Yeah.
And I think of these poor kids now. I have a son who's 11, and he asks me why he can't go on Snapchat. All his friends are on Snapchat. And I say, because you don't need to be on Snapchat. Why? All of them are. I said, it doesn't matter. You've got plenty of years to be on Snapchat. Why do you need it? Because they're all on it. And I said, and? You know? So he's on WhatsApp and that. But they do. They spend their time creating status updates, montages, this. Now, all this time could be used doing something unbelievable.
But you see, until we've come up with an alternative solution that gives you the dopamine and serotonin fix that it's doom scrolling seems to do, you know, it kind of gives you an instant buzz. And it's addictive. They've worked out. It's brilliant. It's totally addictive. You think, I'll just look for a second or two. I'll put a timer. How many people have put timers on their social media? Yeah.
Yes.
And then the time rings and they switch it off. Because,
yes.
You know,
I have a point on that, if you'd like. Or
good
if you'd
point.
Like to. Okay. I think that the rise of kind of community living is going to be amazing. I think that if you look at what's happened with Paddle, and some exercise classes, book clubs. I think that the club concept is going to come back because people are so isolated. So if you are finding yourself listening to this and thinking, gosh, I am such a victim of this, and it feeds depression and severe mental health issues, and I can see my children are falling prey to this, do something about it. Start a weekly, you know, like a picnic where you all go out, form a book club, start an adventure club, start hiking as a family. And that's why you see the gyms do so well, and they're doing better now than ever because people are partaking in community initiatives, and that's what's going to defeat this isolation epidemic.
I think you're absolutely right. I mean, even here, we've decided we're going to create a music club for people that like listening to music and stories.
Lovely.
And that's going to be very, very shortly
a real thing.
Are you going to come?
I'm coming.
It'll be by invitation, so I'll put you top
okay.
of the list.
Thanks, Dad.
So it's good to know that at least these things have been identified, and I think there is a growing awareness of the importance of looking after one's mental health. And if you are responsible for other lives, old or young, to make sure that they are in a safe space as well, to benefit fully from the joy that is living in the 21st. You know, people say, oh, it's never been worse time to bring children into the world. I have a different view. I think it's never been a better time.
It's the safest time in history.
We've got more than we've ever had in history in terms of luxury, in terms of medical security. If you apply yourself to the joy that is to be had, you can live a magnificent life. And we've got 3 score years and 10, maybe, if you're lucky. Every moment is precious. And, of course, you know, by guarding the fact that it's and valuing what is real, and there's so much joy to be,
and that's the word right there is real.
Yeah.
All the stuff that we are seeing on these social media platforms is fake.
It's an interesting thing that we have a regular chat with Sarah Swainson on the Bold Heart Initiative, and one of the things that she's discovered recently is forest swimming. It's a Japanese concept. We just literally walk into a forest, and the energy that you absorb from being in that kind of environment, apparently it is life-changing if you allow it to happen.
I want to go swim in forests.
You see, so there's so much to do.
Is there a forest swimming club in Johannesburg? Because I don't think I can find one.
Start
there.
One. Be the difference that you want to see in the world. That's fantastic. And that's kind of where we wrap it up for today. But please come back.
I will.
Lovely chatting.
I will. Next time I'll come in my forest gear and I'll take all of you guys and we'll go into, you've got access to forest swimming here.
Lots
of forests. Yeah, I think the more we can actually get out of our homes and get into our hearts of community and actually living again, and set the example for everyone around us, you know. And I catch myself as well in front of my child. I'm like, let's put our phones down. Come, let's go do something. I'm lucky that he's a cricketer and loves being outside and loves playing outside. But other parents aren't so lucky that the kids are, you know, dragging themselves to get out the house because they video games and everything's. But if we can start from the parents and set this new inbound flux for community and forest swimming.
I want to go
on a forest swim. Do you wear clothes on a forest swim?
Yes,
or is that some other kind of swim?
You don't have to.
Walk into the forest and you know, you can do whatever you want. I would suggest you keep your clothes on.
And you can call it back to nature.
Well, just because you don't want to scare the animals.
They'll think we're obtuse.
Yeah, absolutely. It all ties together. And they're my very special guest, JL Geffen from Sotheby's, and Glenda Thompson. Always a pleasure to see you both.
So, thanks, Dad.
We'll look forward to a reconnect real soon on The Morning Show on 88.